It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey and New York City, and this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Thursday, March 28th, with your hosts, me, Ray, and, well, the denim chambray guy, Zach. How are you today, handsome?
Doing great. Happy Thursday, everyone. Today's show brought to you by us, damn it, CarEdge.com. If we can help you out buying, selling, protecting, anything in between, go check it out. It is our company, our website, CarEdge.com. The lead story today, Deb.
Zach, if you don't mind, before you get to the lead story in my world was a comment that I saw today, okay, that said, just an FYI, he's not handsome. And I said, there are many who would beg to differ. I just want you to know that. So, yeah. There you have it. So that, more than what we're about to cover, shocked me today.
YouTube commenter shocks Ray and Zach. Honda, Dad, to trim U.S. dealer profit margins. We glossed over this earlier in the week. I want to do a deeper dive on it today. Honda is not a brand known for huge amounts of profit margin. That being said, they've made the announcement to their dealer partners that they are going to be reducing aspects of the money that comes to you know their bank accounts. Dad, walk us through. You worked for Acura for a long time, which is affiliated with Honda. Walk us through this decision and what it means for the industry, please.
Well, you know, Honda, not nearly as large as Toyota, is an independent, what is considered to be a smaller automotive manufacturer. Obviously, they have their hands in many things. Aircraft, motorcycles, must be boats and boat motors. But their foray into EVs, it truly has to be underwritten more so than most by their dealers and their ICE divisions. And so the strategy moving forward is for the dealers to help pay for this electrification. And the way the dealers are going to pay is their profit margins are going to shrink, which to me almost seems counterintuitive. And the reason I say that is once everything goes more in the direction of EVs and EVs are the higher percentage of what gets sold by these manufacturers, well, your service opportunities are declining and service intervals are declining. So shrinking margins so that dealers can help get everybody into this electrification so that they can make even less money servicing vehicles, just, I don't know, almost to me seems like a recipe for disaster. And if you're a dealer, especially a loyal Honda dealer or loyal Acura, you have to be thinking to yourself, this is what loyalty gets me. This is, you know, not complaining, not, you know, always following the corporate mantra. This is what it gets me. You're going to keep shrinking my margins more and more and more and use that as the excuse that you need to do that so that you can come out with the electric vehicles that will seem to be on the decline anyway.
I'm going to pull up this comment. The auto industry is just being destroyed. I wouldn't say destroyed, but it feels shaky right now. Like this, you know, to your point, Dad, and let's look at it from the articles. This was a corporate memo obtained by Automotive News. The Japanese automaker is reducing the dealer's profit margin by 0.5%, which might not sound like a huge amount, but it certainly is in the aggregate. You know, squeezing the amount between the invoice price that the dealerships pay and the manufacturer's suggested retail price. And it also comes with changes to how they get marketing, advertising, and service payments. You and I talk about under-the-line monies frequently on this channel, and this is an example of that. And then, Dad, you have, you know, dealers saying, why are you doing this? The dealer said his peers realize the move to electric vehicles will require, quote, billions of dollars in investments, and Honda is no exception to that. So to your point, this is to underwrite the EV push, and unfortunately, you know, the dealers are at the expense of that.
Well, yeah. And they're at the expense of it because the public has made a statement. And the statement is that in order for the public to really participate more widely in EVs, the prices have to come down. Well, it's hard for the manufacturers to reduce the prices when the article that was out earlier this week or last week, whenever it was, is that manufacturers are losing on average $6,000 for each EV that is sold. So, you know, if they're losing money on every one of those vehicles, it's hard. It's really difficult to bring down the pricing and make it more affordable. So there's this conundrum. Is where's this money supposed to come from? You know, and I'm like, listen, if there's a broke Honda dealer principal out there, there's only one. Okay. You know, I can tell you back in the 80s, you know, when I was at Admiral Nissan in Pleasantville, New Jersey, outside of Atlantic City, and the owner's friend had the local Honda dealer. It was the strangest collection of brands. It was Honda, BMW, and Oldsmobile. But the Honda brand was like having a printing press. You could just print money with Hondas.
Honda and Toyota.
Yes, they were charging over MSRP back in the 80s. The market adjustments for Hondas were astronomical, and they were selling every last one of them. At the Nissan store, the demand wasn't quite as great. You know, the owner used to tell me, he says, well, such and such is making X amount over on every car. Why aren't we? I go, well, why don't you just ask him to share some of that with you? Because your Nissan customers don't perceive the same value in Nissan as they perceive in a Honda. So, you know, they're any Honda dealer out there that's broke screwed it up himself.
I want to pull up though. I mean, Honda Canada reportedly expects to reduce profit margins of their Canadian dealers by up to 44%. So I hear you loud and clear. Honda dealers are not broke, just like we know Toyota dealers are not broke.
Yes.
No dealers going broke, those two especially. And a 44% decline up in Canada, you've got to imagine similar things are going to happen here, you know, and broadly in North America. That's the huge shock to the industry right now, is there are costs associated with going from electric vehicles to hybrid from hybrid vehicles and ICE vehicles to electric vehicles. And not only are customers paying for it with higher average transaction prices, the dealers are paying for it in lower profit margins. Honda, in many ways, is not unique here. Ford has come out and said, remember Ford Model Blue or whatever the heck it's called, Ford Blue?
Yeah.
The price is the price and there's no profit margin.
Yeah. And they are blue. Every last
the
one.
Dealers are.
Jim Farley's blue. His dealer body's blue. His customers are blue. You know, because you know we've cited the example of that Lightning, that $95,000 Lightning. That if somebody bought it for around $90,000, and then went to try and sell it, get a cash offer on it, which we did, showing 500 miles on the vehicle, the highest cash offer we got was 39.2. So,
have this headline today about Ford F-150 Lightning plant cuts even more workforce amid weak demand. So the stories keep rolling off on the, you know, on the electric vehicle side.
The stories tend to not necessarily be good stories. They show a slowdown in demand and a slowdown in sales. They show an uptick in losses for the manufacturers to try and compete against Tesla and Rivian. So it's very difficult for the legacy manufacturers. And, you know, the dealer bodies have been watching their margins shrink for, I don't know, a couple decades now. When manufacturers do this, like when Honda does this, the only way for the dealer to make up that lost margin is to install, if it's even possible, even more overpriced accessories on the vehicles that the customers didn't ask for and don't want. Okay. And if dealers don't want to install accessories, then there's just going to be additional dealer markups. The addendums will just be for additional dealer profit. And in some cases, the dealers will be able to share with customers if they'd like, listen, the manufacturer has chopped our margins. Our profit margin isn't what it used to be. We want to be able to be here for you if and when you have a problem. And if you do, the only way we can is to ask you to pay a little more. That seems ass backwards to me. But that's what's going to happen. That's the manufacturers are going to force customers to pay more because the dealers themselves are going to ask more to make up for that lost margin. And I still wonder from the service side of things, because service plays such an important role in dealership profitability. And we've talked about, you know, service absorption, and that's a term that gets thrown around, but what is service absorption? And the benchmark for dealerships for service absorption is that they would like parts and service to produce 70% of profits that, well, to produce enough profit to cover 70% of the dealership's total expenses. That's service absorption. Now, if the vehicles you're going to be producing aren't going to need as much service, then it's harder to hit that benchmark of 70%. Now, good stores can run at 80, 90, even in excess of 100%. But if electrification is going to mean, obviously, there's no oil changes. Obviously, the amount of services. You're not going to bring your EV into the dealership to have them fill up your window washers tank. Okay, yeah. Are you coming in for tires, or do you think that Firestone and Goodyear and all the tire dealers out there are going to advertise cheaper prices than dealerships are for tires? So are you really going to go back to your dealer to replace tires?
Is this the beginning of Honda putting pressure on their franchise dealer network model? Again, Ford, remember Ford last year, I guess it was maybe 2 years ago now, came out and split their corporate business into two. There was an internal combustion engine business and there was a fixed price EV business.
Split it into three plus their commercial. Pro division. Yes.
And so, you know, is Honda doing the same thing here, setting the foundation for the same thing? I mean, business models are going to have to evolve. It's just fascinating that this memo was put out into the public and you can see the impact that it's having on the dealer body nationwide. They're fed up with it. They want to make more money, not less money. Because their automaker is investing in electric vehicles, they're making less money. And there's a lot of ambiguity around what the future of their business looks like for the most profitable segment of their dealership.
I don't know too many business people that say to themselves every day, let's figure out how we can do less and make less. Maybe I knew one, but for the most part, I mean, every businessman out there is looking to figure out ways to make more money, not less money. And manufacturers are taking away the opportunity to make that money. So if you think a half a point decline in margin on Honda is next to nothing, you're right, it is next to nothing. The fact that maybe over the course of the last 15 years or so, the profit margin might have shrunk from 10% to 5.5%, and now it's going to shrink to 5%, then you can see suddenly why dealers are concerned, because every time the manufacturer needs to make more money, they tend to want to take it from their dealers. And the dealers, you know, they don't really care for that. For, you know, for good reason.
Obvious reason. The dealers are men and women that want to make more money, not less. That should be very, very, very clear. Dad, car dealership guy tweeted out something that Haig, which is one of the big buy-sell agencies out there, reported on. And this is average new car sales per dealership. And what this demonstrates here, the blue, the dark blue, are 2023 year sales. So on average, for example, you can see up at the top, it says Toyota. A Toyota dealer is selling on average around 1,500 cars in a year at their dealership. Okay.
Yes.
Now in 2019, they were selling closer to like 1,600 cars. You can see that, the dark blue dot, which is again 2023, is less than the light blue dot, which was 2019 pre-pandemic. Pretty much every brand is like that. Look at Honda, Dad. Look at the difference for Honda. They went from selling, those dealers went from selling maybe 1,250 cars a year to 1,000 cars a year. And now the news is, oh, and your profit margin's going down.
Yes.
And there are very few brands here that bucked the trend. Lexus is one of the brands that bucked the trend. Mazda, it looks like, bucked the trend a little bit further down there. But pretty much Volvo bucked the trend a little bit. Look at Infiniti. Look at Nissan. Look at Ford. Look at Honda. Look at Mercedes-Benz. You know, pretty much every brand, they're selling fewer cars. And we know that. That makes sense. They were making more money by, you know, adding market adjustments and things like that. But again, the shocking news is the fact that Honda has outright come and said, hey, profit margins are going to go down by 0.5%. Oh, so, and you're going to sell less cars.
Yeah. So if you're selling 200 less cars a year, suddenly that 0.5% over 200 cars turns into a lot of damn money. And yes, Toyota has typically had the highest percentage of cars sold by dealer on average than any other brand out there, and has been that way for years and years and years, and probably will continue to be that way.
Yeah, tied to Toyota, let's switch to a new story, Dad. It would actually be Toyota's global sales slide 7% in February, led by slumps in China and Japan. We have seen traditionally Toyota sales globally going up like a little bit of a rocket ship. And in the North American market, it's been not so strong. We've seen huge growth in other countries and other continents. This is maybe the first signal we've seen from our Toyota dealer partners behind the scenes. We've seen them indicate to us, hey, allocations are building up. We have on-hand inventory. The situation's very different for us than it was, you know, 6, 8, 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. Is this the first sign that Toyota might be ready to double down back in North America, back in the United States? We've got slumping sales internationally for Toyota, the world's largest automaker, and growing sales here in North America, growing inventories here in North America. I thought this was maybe good news. Good news for people looking to buy Toyotas in the United States.
Well, what it would indicate to me is if sales are slowing down in other parts of the world for Toyota, then so they can adjust their manufacturing to produce fewer cars for those markets and increase the number, you know, they can keep the manufacturing levels the same, but increase the number of cars intended for North America while cutting back some of the cars for those other areas. So if that were to be the case, yeah, that should bode well for customers here. It should allow dealers to have larger allocations. And as their inventories build, perhaps we'll find more Toyota dealers other than just the one in our dealer network who's willing to take something other than MSRP for their car.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So it should bode well for consumers, but only time will tell.
Yeah, but I think generally things are looking better. There was a big Cox Automotive report, their quarterly update, and they said the seller's market is gone. It's a buyer's market. And I think that even applies for brands like Toyota, Honda, et cetera. As inventories grow, that's generally a good news. And international sales slowdowns will put more pressure on trying to get more sales from North America, from the United States. And I think that's generally a good thing for customers here in the United States. Dad, that being said.
Yes.
CarEdge.com. It's the end of the month, folks. If you're in the market to buy a new car, protect a car, sell a car, anything like that, please let us and our team help you. Our end of month promotion ends here in just 3 days, 11 hours, 40 minutes, and it looks like 2 seconds. Please check it out. My dad and I started this company 4 years ago. We love doing what we do on YouTube. We have an incredible team and incredible services back on the website. We're going to go early. We're going to go often. Go for it.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, I I don't pay enough attention to the calendar. And, you know, I said, you know, there'll be some dealerships that be open this Sunday. They will not. There Easter. Are very few holidays that dealerships close. Easter Sunday is one of them. Okay. And so this is Easter Sunday coming up. If you want to pressure your dealer to give you a car, a good car deal, you have today, tomorrow, and Saturday. And on Sunday, you can attend your Easter egg hunt because, and you can hide all the Easter eggs you want at the car dealership because there ain't going to be anybody there. So you basically have 2.5 days left to get a end of the month, end of the quarter deal at a dealership. May I say one other thing? I read the comments and it's like, why do you encourage people to buy cars? You know, it's a bad time for people. We encourage people to buy cars smartly. If they want to buy a car, that's what we encourage them to do. We have also discouraged people from buying cars. We own the website, stopbuyingcars.com. You know, even though we own that website, even though we have made those statements, people still buy cars, damn it. So our job in this space is to help them do it intelligently and to save them as much money as possible while they are doing it. So, you know, stop busting our chops that we're still helping people buy cars when it's just a bad time for... You know, some people just really need to find a life. Well, they do. I mean, some people just sit around and all they want to do is bitch and moan about everybody else. You know, take stock of your own life. If we're here helping people save money, if we're here educating people, informing people, hell, even entertaining people while we do that, why are you busting our chops? And if you think we're so wrong, start your own damn YouTube channel and get a following and build a business. Don't stop just taking shots at people. Okay, I'm done.
Can't wait to read the comments on this one. Dad, let's go there. Our favorite segment of the show.
Really? You got me eerie. No, really? You got to be kidding me.
There's still market adjustments out there, folks. Hyundai Ioniq 5, the N-Line, $67,685 manufacturer suggested retail price, added markup number 3. I think that's Roman numerals for the number 3, $20,000, taking you to an $87,685 Hyundai. This comes on the heels of earlier this week. We saw the Kia EV9. With $152,000
after making $1,800 a month payments for 83 months. Yeah, you know, sure. There are some vehicles that are in short supply and that somebody's got to have. You know, honestly, I wouldn't think it would be the Hyundai. You know, I personally would have thought it might have been a Porsche of some kind, but not a Hyundai. But apparently there are Hyundai lovers out there who just can't live without that N-Line. You know, it apparently it is the Korean version of an AMG or an M-Series BMW. So, yeah, sure, spend an extra $20,000. And get nothing for it. Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah. So we are still seeing certain vehicles out there with market adjustments. It's just wild to me to think Hyundai's and Kia's selling for nearly... I mean, the OTD, the out-the-door price on that Hyundai, Ioniq 5 N-Line, if it's at an $87,000 transaction price, I think that's in the state of California, so sales tax there is 8.5% to 10%. I mean, you're looking at a $100,000 OTD price when it's all said and done for a Hyundai. And that Kia we looked at, the EV9, the total amount that they were paying once you factored in the finance charges was $152,000 over their 84-month loan. What world are we in where Hyundai Kia products are transacting over $100,000.
We're in the world where we're here to help educate people, okay, about some of the decisions some people are considering making. That's the world we live. That's why we're here. And no, my veins really aren't popping out. And just because, you know, I get loud and every, I'm really not worked up at all.
a little bit, just a little bit.
Maybe a tad.
I mean, sometimes you get worked up on this show when we look at like negative equity, when we look at like really stupid dealership add-ons and crap like that. Yeah, you've been known to get a little bit worked up. I want to come back here to the chat, Dad, from Sean O. Yeah. My local Ford dealer is advertising $20,000 off of Ford Mustang Mach-Es and $25,000 off of F-150 Lightnings. I should ask them to take another $10,000 to $15,000 off for when they added market price adjustments last year. LOL. Doesn't it feel like the market just like on a dime, man? It turned on a dime.
And you know what's really funny is that the invoice amount for that Mach-E was literally the same as the MSRP. Okay. And the way that you were supposed to make money on Mach-Es was there were programs from Ford for selling these things. The profit wasn't just going to be the profit in the vehicle because there was none. The profit was ultimately going to come from Ford for however many you sold. So if a dealer is taking $20,000 off,
that means
they're taking $20,000 off of what they paid for it. If they're taking it off of MSRP, now I'm assuming this is just an assumption that Ford is paying a big percentage of that $20,000. Through incentives to the dealer, but the math doesn't math, man.
At the end of the day, the math just doesn't math.
If you can't sell them taking $20,000 off or $25,000 off, it should indicate to those who build the damn things that they're priced too high. Okay, if you can't save somebody $20,000 and get them to buy it, it's more than $20,000 too high.
Aren't we experiencing this right now with Stellantis? That's another brand where you have the same example. The Gladiators, you can get them for like $20,000-$25,000 off of, you know, MSRP and still not selling. So there are examples of this. Electric powertrains, non-electric powertrains, they're just priced too damn high. I want to pull up one more comment here from Luparian. Yes. Right now feels like a game of chicken with the industry and consumers. What is the breaking point for the manufacturers to lower their price points and MSRPs? What was the breaking point been in the past? I will mention caredge.com/guides. Justin put a guide documenting vehicles that have seen MSRP price reductions. There are many. There were 7 vehicles when he made that guide. There might be more now. Search MSRP reduction space CarEdge in Google and it'll come up. We are already seeing it. We are seeing MSRP reductions from the manufacturers. To your point, not necessarily big enough to move the needle yet, but you know, starting to.
Yes, and what's the point? As the inventories continue to build up and the number of people walking through the dealership doors continues to decline, that'll be the breaking point for everybody. If the Fed isn't going to lower interest rates anytime soon, and they're not. And they have indicated that they're not. And if they were to lower them by 25 basis points, that's not really enough to move the needle. People grew so accustomed to those artificially low interest rates of 3 years ago that they can't fathom paying the rates it takes today to buy something. And what exacerbated all that was the fact that so many vehicles went up 40, 50, 60% while the interest rates doubled and in some cases tripled. So that's just a situation where you created this perfect storm. And the only way out of that storm is to continue to lower prices. Dealers won't sit on them. Manufacturers can't afford to sit on them, and they can't afford not to produce them. So what do? You lower your prices. We saw it happen during the Great Recession. We'll see it happen again. I don't know that it'll take a Great Recession, but you know, we're seeing it happen. We are living through it happening. Although I know in everyone's neighborhood, it's not happening there.
Our team every month helps thousands of people buy a car, new, used, and everything in between. We're seeing it happen every single day. We have dealer partners behind the scenes with our pre-negotiated deals that are lowering prices even more than they were a week ago. Okay, so we are seeing it day in and day out. Super proud of having access to all those car deals, the dealers, the OEMs even. Check it out back at caredge.com. The industry has flipped. We've turned on a dime. And generally speaking, Dad, all net positive for consumers. Only thing that might be net negative right now are trade-in values, but they're at their highest level that they're probably going to be at this year. We did a whole quarterly industry update over on the Car Edge channel. Go check that out. Dad, I'll be back in DC tomorrow. Can't wait to do the show from my normal setup. It's been fun though the past couple of days here in New York. Thanks for putting up with me with the, you know, not the best lighting and whatnot. And, you know, I know the internet's a bit spotty, but thanks for putting up with me.
Well, you know, as far as one commentator goes, you make that office look so much better. So, no, the one you're in right now. It'll be fun to have you back in DC tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to it. Have a safe train ride home.
Thank you.
Yes indeed. I've got a lunch today that I have to go to.
Go enjoy lunch. Everyone enjoy their Thursday. Thank you for being here with us, and can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be back here tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for being here today.